Crossroads Diaries, a 19-year-old's Vietnam journey. It's a mixture of poetry, pictures, Bible scriptures, and musical lyrics. But most of all, it is the innermost feelings of a young man who wanted to go out in a blaze of glory.
The Crossroad Diaries, December 11th, 1967. It's been fun, and a lot of it. Being in the Bay Area since this past spring, that was one cold-hearted, emotionless, typewritten letter you sent to Jackie, who tried so hard to seduce me. You did try hard to unite with that cute blonde ponytail young lady from high school, but it didn't work out. Spending a few weekend nights at the Fillmore listening to the music by the Doors was fantastic. But now it's time to go to war. So who's going with you? Well, there's Roger, known as Roger Dodger, some kind of weird version of Roger Over and Out. He's my age, but from a different world. Not the youth-oriented pace of Southern Cal, but that down-home style of the South. Hardworking, tough times. He's already married and they are expecting their first child soon. He's been having a rough time of making ends meet with the small Navy paycheck. The best way to increase the amount he gets is to volunteer for combat duty. So he's going to war. Roger Dodger had a self-made tattoo, the letters of which were only a few. There was a big M and a big O. In Hawaii, that would be mo, and mean there is certainly more. But the final big M proved too sore. There is Frank from San Diego. His dad was a 20-year man in the Navy. Frank knows he must serve his time in the military. The reserves provide the shortest time of actual commitment. A great way to shorten it even a little bit more is to volunteer for Vietnam. He and his dad have had many arguments about the whole situation. Nonetheless, Frank and his camera are going to war. There is Robert. He has always wanted to be a policeman, but driving the Admiral's craft wasn't doing much to prepare him for his future. And in 1.5 years, he will need more experience in the ways a cop has to think and react. One way to get that experience is to drive boats in the Delta. He made a formal request and finally was called into the Admiral's office. The high-ranking officer informed Robert that his orders had come through. Robert will get to face all the fears and hardships of war. He will be the coxswain of an assault boat in the Mekong Delta. By law, he's not even a man yet until he turns 21 in a month or so. Robert is going to war. There is Larry, but no one knows him by that name. Somehow, some way, he picked up the nickname of Gomer. He is known for being drunk, whores, fights, and gambling. After some kind of binge, he found himself in front of a ship's captain, where he was about to receive a period of confinement, but was offered a second chance. He would be sentenced to a term of hard labor, or he could choose a new assignment, an assignment that had him going to war. There are two others in this initial 7-man crew, but they will remain nameless due to life events. A year from now, when we return, there will be 11 of us boarding the plane, and other survivors may have left at different times. There are now a few more than 120 leaving for Vietnam, and our unit will experience an 80% casualty rate during the next year. Our first stop today will be Hawaii. We will get off the plane for a little while and be able to use the restroom. As I stand at my urinal, relieving myself, someone calls my name. The person to my right is a Navy officer in his whites, including his white buck shoes. I turn to respond to the calling, and my yellow stream hits his white shoes. He wasn't very happy, but what's the worst he can do to me? Send me to war? Well, here begins the diary of the memory of a young man in Vietnam.
Can I interrupt you?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to go back to the last date.
Okay.
Let's go back. Because when you're talking about Roger Dodger.
Yes.
And his Mo tattoo.
Yes.
He didn't want Mo.
No.
It was supposed to be Mom?
It was supposed to have been Mom. Yes, it was.
He couldn't muscle the last M.
He was a self-made dad, too. I give him credit for getting the M-O on there.
Just Mo. Should have called him Mo.
Who knows how nicknames really occur? And you're right. He should have been called Mo. But he wasn't. He was called Roger Dodger. And hardly everybody has a four-syllable nickname.
That is so great. Well, something that I noticed when you were going over this, what was kind of killing me inside was the incentives that each of these young men were getting was you can go to war.
Yeah.
If you want to provide better for your family, you can volunteer to go to war.
Right.
If you want to get that particular job you're looking for, you need to go to war. And yet there was no guarantee they were going to get to come home to that family they were taking this
right.
for. There was no guarantee they were going to come home and be physically capable and have all their limbs to be in law enforcement. That just struck me, really struck me.
I think it's fascinating, too. Over the years, I have learned that the River Rainforest, a Navy component, I haven't talked too much about the River Rainforest. That's in other parts of the book, even at the beginning. But it was a joint task force of Army-Navy. One of the remarkable things is the Navy was almost 100% volunteer. The Army initially was 100%, almost 100% draftee.
Wow.
Just the opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah, for one of the first times in history, the Army and Navy totally gelled together. The Navy hated the thought of having to touch their ground with their feet and stay on the ground, and the Army hated the thought of having to climb into the boat and run off the boat.
Isn't that something?
And it's a mutual admiration society to this day.
That's awesome. One of the things when you started to talk about the 80% casualty rate, that specifically was your unit?
That is the...
Or was that...
That is the Navy and the Army combined. Each had their own separate 80%, so therefore, overall, it's also an 80%. And that is not necessarily death. The Army had a fairly high rate of death rates. The biggest part of that 80% is just the casualty, the number of
wounded and right.
Those who got wounded and how many times right. they got wounded.
So when you went into this and the other young men at the time, did you, when you left, did you know this 80% casualty rate? Did you, or was that a thing at the time? Did you know that, so many of our soldiers have died? Like you're hearing it on the news.
I think intuitively we kind of knew that. I knew there had been a horrendous amount of Army guys who had lost their lives. I knew that there were very few remaining guys I had trained with, even on the boats around. Of those 11, I think I only knew about 7 of them. And 4 of those have been on my boat. But I don't know if I realized it was 80%, but I didn't know anybody who wasn't wounded.
Mm, wow.
So
incredible.
And I've gone to reunions, and when you get there, you think it's a military Order of the Purple Heart convention because there's so many Purple Heart plates in the parking lot.
I bet there is. Wow.
It's unbelievable, Art, the number of guys who got. Wow. We like to find guys who didn't because those are our heroes. They managed to stay out of the line of fire.
Exactly. Wow.
So.
Well, I want to just... I didn't say this before, but let me say it again, and I hope I say it all the time. Thank you. Thank you. I'm getting emotional again. Thank you for your service, and thank you to all of our men and women that have served, are serving. I mean, this is very impactful, and I hope everybody's enjoying it. You are listening to The Crossroads Diaries, a 19-year-old's Vietnam journey by author, narrator, and host Tom Center, along with co-host Cheryl Chambers. You can find The Crossroad Diaries, a 19-year-old's Vietnam journey on Amazon, Walmart, and Barnes & Noble. You can also follow Tom on Facebook at Thomas Center on Facebook.